This is the West Texas Dispatch. I'm George Levesque. Tom Sell is the candidate who raised the most in this campaign. More than $1.2 million are in his campaign coffers. He's coming into the race with experience in Washington, where he served former District 19 Congressman Larry Combest when he chaired the U.S. House Agriculture Committee. Sell is a Lubbock businessman and agricultural lobbyist. KTTZ's Brad Burt spoke to Sell for the West Texas Dispatch.
First off the bat, one of the big priorities for the Trump administration this year has been immigration. It's a top issue for a lot of people in West Texas, but some of the activity has drawn protests and polls are showing some low approval of the current enforcement efforts. Do you support what the current approach is, and what reform legislation would you offer for immigration in the United States?
Absolutely support. I think controlling our borders, securing the borders, was a key priority that the voters wanted. What has been done to eliminate, essentially, illegal immigration across the border has been absolutely remarkable. I think everyone supports that. And I'm also a supporter of good immigration reform. Congress needs to step up and enact better laws to make legal immigration more transparent, more accountable, and more accessible to those who want to come to our nation and live the American dream. But supporting our laws and enforcing our laws and supporting the law enforcement who do.
What is your view on the president's tariffs, and do you think that they have been helpful to the U.S. and the West Texas economy specifically?
President Trump, when he came into office, both when he came into office in 16 and now again in 24, he said, look, we're going to do it differently. We are the wealthiest nation in the world. We spend more per capita than any other nation in the world. This is the ultimate marketplace for the goods of the world. And if you're going to have access to our markets, we're going to make you play by our rules. 7 years ago, that had a positive impact. Unfortunately, the Biden administration came in. They relaxed the rules. They didn't hammer out any trade agreements over their 4 years. Our foreign competitors started manipulating the markets again against us. So it takes some time to work out of this, but I want to encourage the farmers toward patience.
Are you concerned about the president's recent proposals for Argentine beef imports affecting the current cattle shortage?
You know, when he talked about opening some additional access to the Argentinians for importing Argentinian beef, it was a relatively small amount. We import already. And I think, you know, maybe too much was made of that particular announcement. But he also has made it plain that we want to stand by our nation's beef producers and we want to rebuild this herd in the U.S. Now, that's not as easy as it sounds. You have to deal with weather and droughts and all those kinds of things that also impact the individual rancher's decision of whether they can keep more of their heifers. We also have to, you know, there are all those also these issues like the screwworm threat from Mexico. It's a big, complex issue. And one of the things I think I can bring to the table in running for Congress is just a particular knowledge and depth on these issues where I can kind of speak with confidence and authority to make sure that we're getting this policy right.
You were endorsed by the Texas Farm Bureau Ag Fund, and you talked about your experience in Washington lobbying for agriculture. But farmers are a little worried whether Congress can put a hold on some of the actions by President. I mean, farmers sent this month a letter to lawmakers with recommendations. Do you think that Congress has that ability to question some of Trump's policies as it stands right now?
Look, I've been very proud to serve as an advocate for our nation's farming industry and 19th District farmers in particular over the last really 30 years since I first went to Washington, D.C. with a former chairman of the Ag Committee, Larry Combest, who oftentimes we had disagreements with the administration at that time, the Bush administration, the Clinton administration before that. And that's the beauty of our governmental system, our constitutional framework that wants, you know, independent voices coming to the table, and particularly as Congress, the representatives of the people. These issues get big and complex. These problems, particularly on the beef side, are complex. And so, you know, I love, you know, the fact that the Farm Bureau, along with Texas Southwest Cattle Raisers and the Texas Cattle Feeders And a lot of the agricultural groups around this region have jumped in support of my campaign. And I do intend to be that very kind of strong and confident voice on these issues.
I mean, coming from West Texas, though, there's a little bit, there's a level of cynicism around the concept of lobbying. Do you think that there's misconceptions about that?
Well, you know, like in all professions, there is good and there's bad. And there's certainly, when there are bad lobbyists, they get thrown under the bus, as they should be. But, you know, they're also good. That's how we exercise our First Amendment right, to petition our government. And we want to have people who can help navigate those choppy waters, the difficult waters.
You may have seen some communication from Ag Commissioner Sid Miller about calling for regulation on some of the data centers that have been going up around Texas, specifically how they could affect in West Texas, like Lubbock and Abilene, in terms of the land and water usage and utility usage.
Yeah.
Do you have concern about the rapid spread of these data centers? And do you think there's something that Congress could put in place to control that?
A lot of this is divided between the federal government, state, county, municipal. And it's where we have to work together as legislators and representatives to make sure that we engage with those seeking to invest in this area. There's opportunity here, and I would argue the problems associated with growth are always going to be better than the problems associated with stagnation. There are good ways to do that, and we just got to insist upon it.
A major issue for state lawmakers, specifically our state senator, Charles Perry, what would you do to help with the water issues here in West Texas?
I give a lot of credit to Senator Perry for the work that he's done. I was proud to serve on the Lubbock Water Commission, so I've seen this from a municipal area. Also working in ag policy, there's a lot of things that can be done, even in the Farm Bill, to help preserve the water resources and conserve the water resources. But it is important to note, water law is primarily governed by our state. The federal government, though, can empower and work with our state legislators to do a better job of conserving those resources for the future.
Transitioning a little bit to rural health, the hospitals have been struggling recently, experiencing some staff shortages. Yeah. Do you think that there's anything that Congress could do to make sure that people in these rural areas have access to health care?
Healthcare is critical for people no matter where you are, and we need to have that ability to access quality health care. So I give back to Jody Arrington, they got a $50 billion allocation in the One Big Beautiful Bill that passed last July that is going to help rural hospitals. It'll stop some of the bleeding. My priority is making sure that we stand by the rural infrastructure to make sure that they have the technology and the capability. And we got to have systems and policies that help attract doctors to the rural communities.
You brought up the Farm Bill. What do you think West Texas needs out of this bill?
You know, these are commodity markets in agriculture, and they cycle through. And hopefully with trade agreements, I think we are going to see an uplift in commodity prices going forward. But then there are some structural issues. I think in the America First agenda, to the extent we can empower U.S. businesses to reinvest in processing more of our agricultural commodities right here at home, that's going to provide greater resilience for our U.S. producers. To the extent we can empower our U.S. producers to invest up that chain, that's also going to give them economic resilience on the farms. And that's what it's all about.
Tom Sell, Republican candidate for District 19, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks a lot, Brad.
That's KTTZ's Brad Burt speaking with Tom Sell. You can find a longer version of this interview and links to Sell's campaign on our website. Next up is Abraham Enriquez, one of the newcomers in the race, who's running a distant second to Tom Sell in the money part of that contest. Enriquez has raised more than $430,000 to fund his efforts. Enriquez graduated from Abilene Christian University in 2018 with a degree in political science, and he is the founder and president of the organization Bienvenido. KACU's Heather Claiborne spoke with Abraham Enriquez about his vision for the district.
Thanks for coming in.
It's so great to be with you, Heather. Thank you for the invitation.
Well, let's start off by telling us about Bienvenido. When did you launch it? And give us an example of what you're most proud of that you've accomplished with the organization.
Absolutely. In 2018, Heather, right after I graduated here from ACU, I went back to Lubbock because I was going to start law school at Texas Tech. And in that summer, there was this really large push by leftist politicians for Hispanics to embrace this Latinx terminology. For those listeners that wonder what Latinx is, it was this push for Hispanics to no longer use the words Latino or Latina. And so I started this organization, Bienvenido, and really it was Bienvenido pop-up events that we bring together local pastors, business leaders, and talk about the American dream. And what that resulted in was, in these really highly populated Hispanic districts across the state, a record number of first-time Hispanics registering Republican. What I'm most proud of, it's hard because we've done so much, but I would say my most proud accomplishment with that organization has been bringing a million new voters to a party that they oftentimes felt wasn't welcoming to them or didn't share the same values. Our party has always been the best for our community. Sometimes it just needed a better messenger.
Well, one of the things I think a lot of people have questions about is, how does immigration policy line up with the values of Hispanic voters and the community? You say America needs to stop the immigration insanity by codifying President Trump's border policies. And as you advocate for this community, and you advocate for all Americans if you're, you know, representing the district, you have a unique perspective, though. So what are the policies you think should be prioritized?
Look, I go back to my grandparents when they immigrated here legally in the 70s, Heather, and they came under the Braceros program. But the way our immigration system functions today is so widely different than when my grandparents came here in the 70s. And in fact, I think immigration is no longer, you know, subject to race, but a national security issue. It doesn't just hit South Texas anymore. It hits all the cities in Texas that become a border city, especially in our minority communities. So I think that president, being so focused on that issue, he was able to bring in a demographic that maybe people thought wasn't going to resonate greatly with that. But at the end of the day, Heather, Hispanics, like every Americans, are very pro-law and order. That's why many of us have family members that immigrated to America because they wanted a fighting shot at living in a place where law and order really was taken serious. And I think that's what we saw in this last election cycle.
And right now, Homeland Security funding is held up because of, you know, the enforcement questions around how ICE is carrying out the policies. Yeah. Do you think there is any reform on mask wearing or warrants or anything else that is worth discussing?
I'm very concerned about when we start putting policies that put more regulation on our officers who are already every day waking up, putting on the uniform, and are risking maybe not going back to their families. When the men and women in uniform do not feel like they are protected by their own government, then that actually, what that does, it affects the community that they're trying to serve. I will always stand on the side of our agents, our brave agents who are doing the best to ensure that Americans are safe. I also think it's important to highlight that President Trump said he wanted a full transparent into the situation that actually led to people, calling for regulations like, taking masks off our ICE agents. I'm very proud to have gotten the endorsement of the Border Patrol Council because they know that I have always stood by them and will continue to stand by them because in protecting them, we're protecting ourselves.
Let's talk about the Farm Bill. The text hasn't quite been finalized there, but we see that there are complaints that it's not doing enough to help struggling farmers, among other things. It's a huge bill. What do you think West Texas needs most out of the Farm Bill?
Yeah, so we haven't had a new Farm Bill in 8 years. What we've had have been an extension of failed policies that actually demonize our small family farmers. And one of the biggest complaints that I've had traveling all 33 counties is that the Farm Bill isn't actually for the small farmer. 3/4 of it is actually for SNAP programs and welfare distribution. 1/4 of it actually does something for the farmers. And there is another candidate in this race that is running on the message of we need to expand the Farm Bill. I completely disagree with that. I think we need to modernize the Farm Bill from the ground up. We need to dismantle it and start from ground zero, because what we have right now is actually a favor to big ag, and our small families and farmers have been sold to the highest bidder. So we need to do things like get SNAP out of the Farm Bill. Number two, we need to put in incentives that actually allow farmers to do what they get to do. Something like writing off a new farm equipment for the full year is something that would actually support farmers. Also, an America First stance to our farmers and ranchers means that we should even out the playing field. It makes no sense to me why our farmers and ranchers right now have to compete at the same price that, you know, Pakistan and India and China and Argentina and Brazil are. That's not America first. That's actually America last. So from the ground up, let's start new with the Farm Bill, and let's actually bring our small family farmers into the conversation.
I want to shift to rural healthcare issues. Mm-hmm. We've seen a lot of rural areas losing specialty medical doctors like cardiologists, neurologists, OBGYNs, endocrinologists. It's not just a problem in West Texas. What do you think Congress could do to make sure more people in rural areas have access to important healthcare?
I'm so proud to have been able to go through mostly all our rural healthcare systems and really get a conversation started. And President Trump has a really good plan right now to ensure that we're taking a look at investments into this particular issue. But I'm generally a positive person, but I'm speaking to our healthcare providers in this area. I think that they think it's going to get worse before it gets better. And it starts with ensuring that we're building policies based on the people actually doing the work. Too many times, Heather, I've been in conversations where the consulting class and the lobbying class are really influencing policymakers that later on actually end up helping their clients, which is, you know, big pharma. And so I think that when you actually get the middleman out of the conversation and let's bring in the actual rural healthcare providers to shape policy around what they need, what they're seeing, and what they have planned, better policy is at play.
How do you think you would differ from Congressman Arrington in representing this district? He was here for past decade. What would you be? How would you be different?
Yeah, look, I have a lot of love and respect for Congressman Arrington as someone that led, his volunteer team in Abilene. I was one of the captains here in Abilene. I really have truly loved seeing him grow in his time in Congress. How it would differ is we have to be very, very focused on the ag industry 100% and focus on the energy industry. But we also have to make sure that we're providing and we're building a society in West Texas that keeps our young talent in our district. And that's where I think where I would differ is ensuring that we're not forgetting the voices of our young voters. In 2022, Gen Z and millennial voters for the first time outpaced baby boomer voters. I mean that we're not prioritizing policies that actually help young Americans, we might lose them. And so I think talking about issues like the rising cost of home ownership and the rising cost of living, and so putting policies and initiatives that speak to those issues, I think is what really will make me a different candidate.
Well, thank you so much, Abraham Enriquez.
Thank you, Heather.
Abraham Enriquez, active in politics, but a newcomer to running for office. You can find the extended version of our conversation with him on our website. Besides being a small business owner, Matt Smith is a pastor and a rancher. The most recent campaign finance filings show that Smith has raised more than $212,000, the third highest total in this race. But we're here to talk about the issues. I spoke with Matt Smith about his run for the 19th congressional seat earlier this month. Thanks for coming on in today.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you all for having me.
First question I have is, what is it like out there on the campaign trail in such a short time trying to get your message across?
You know, it's amazing. It feels like another startup business. I've started several businesses, sold businesses, and whenever you start up, you have more things to do than you have time to do them. So you have to just dive right in and get to it and realize that there's more for tomorrow. And ultimately, you still have to be a husband, a dad, and you still need to have that day of rest like Scripture talks about. So you can't go all the time and burn yourself completely out.
Well, let's talk about some issues that are before District 19 and, in fact, before America. And I think you can't help but having the first conversation be about immigration and the crackdown that's going on right now with ICE. And I guess the first question is what do you think, because you're out there talking to people in Lubbock and Abilene and all the counties around, what do you think the take is? What do people perceive about the ICE crackdowns as far as West Texas goes?
You know, listen, there's a lot more attention to it right now because of the social media in that part. But we've had these laws in place for years, and they're simply being enforced. There's some talk about people feeling like they're being targeted, but the areas that people are, that the cities, the sheriff's departments, et cetera, are working with ICE agents, those criminals, the fentanyl traffickers, and the bad actors that none of us want here, they're getting released straight to the ICE agent, where the local authority is not working with them. It's making it a lot more dangerous for ICE. So those areas is where you're getting a lot of the headlines from, you know, this Minnesota and that part. But Taylor County, Lubbock County, a lot of the areas around are they work with ICE. And so we don't have those same problems that the other places are having.
Let's talk a little bit about those other places, though. You talk about Minneapolis, and there's been two U.S. citizens that were killed in altercations that happened there. There's also, I think, a general feeling of, why do all these people have masks on? When you see those things, do you think there ought to be some changes made to what ICE is doing out there?
You know, I think that we have to make sure that all of the agents, regardless of which agency they're for, need to be trained exceptionally well, and we need to work together. I don't want to see anyone that is, you know, targeted or anyone that is killed because they're trying to do something peacefully. Now, I think, as we'll see, a lot of the information will continue to come out. So it's I can't armchair quarterback an exact decision that happened. And, you know, in the moment, how someone responds to a dangerous situation, I don't know. If I'm there, I would hope that the law was doing everything it could to protect me, regardless of which side I'm on.
Let's talk about the economy, the U.S. economy, West Texas economy. Where do you see it going, and what specifically is on your mind if you were to be a congressman about taking it forward?
You know, Abilene right now, we're booming. This AI stuff has boosted our economy so much, from home construction to restaurants, and all of the areas here are growing significantly. Tech area is growing. But look at how great tech did with the sports and some of that part. So we have our area, District 19, is growing significantly. And I see that it's going to continue to happen, especially with as we look at the data center alley that I'm hearing is coming to our market. So we have the data centers already popping up, and it's getting ready to continue to grow. And that'll be a big part of the continued growth. Now we look at what we're doing here at ACU with the molten reactors and the such. I believe that that's going to be the lifeblood of the data centers. Being able to have so much power produced in an extremely clean way, it's the only way we're going to be able to keep up in the AI race, is having extremely efficient power that is not susceptible to ill intent from others.
We had Sid Miller, Texas Agricultural Commissioner, here the last, well, I guess about 2 weeks ago, and he was talking about the need for regulation as far as these AI data centers go. Obviously, that's typically a congressional power regulation. A state obviously probably not going to be doing that from the Ag Commissioner spot. Do you favor some more regulation, or is it a bit of the Wild West out there when it comes to data centers popping up?
Yeah, we definitely have to have regulation. We don't want AI taking over everything. At the same time, we also have to look at the internet race. When we see what happened in Europe, well, America won. And so we saw the fruits of the internet and everything in our favor. And we are now in the AI race. So we can't let one of these other countries win. We have to press full throttle on this, but making sure that from a federal level there is regulation so that we don't have rogue bad actors coming in and destroying what we're building.
So regulation, but nothing that would slow down the progress of AI that's going on in America, at least right now.
Yes.
Talk about Democrats. I hear there are some Democrats in the House of Representatives in Washington, D.C. In fact, it may be a very even split like it is right now. Would you work with Democrats across the aisle to get things accomplished?
I think partisan politics is a huge part of the problem when we have the extremes on each side. Jesus is the perfect example of loving your neighbor, and he would go and sit down with the people that weren't welcome from the traditional groups. So he would hang out with the prostitutes, the sinners, the tax collectors. He would go to them and love them. And I think that as he would do that, we can't look at one side or the other, because we are all people who have fallen short of the glory of God. And whenever we fall short, regardless of which side, there is going to be things that get in the way of justice. And so we need to do all that we can to help them see him and see the kingdom. And then I believe once we come into alignment with the kingdom of heaven, we're going to work together a whole lot more and see getting things done that are righteous and passing just laws.
When you are out there right now and you're going from town to town, you're talking to West Texans, what are you hearing from people? What is the big thing on their mind when you talk to them?
you know, a lot of people are having a hard time with the inflation over the past 4 years, where it's just things got so out of control. Now that inflation's coming down, we still have credit card debt. We have issues that trying to play catch up, and we need to continue to work on this, opening up places for our producers to go with the products. And we also have to be aware that not everyone is the person that is doing exceptionally well right now. There's a lot of people that are still struggling, but
sure,
we're going in the right direction.
Matt Smith, thank you for joining us here on the West Texas Dispatch.
Yeah, thank you, man. It's great to be here, and you know, I'm excited to serve District 19. This is, you know, home. I've born and raised in the area, and I intend to continue to be here. We love Texas. Family goes back to the Battle of San Jacinto, and
wow,
it's West Texas is home.
Matt Smith is one of seven candidates on the Republican ballot. You can find an extended version of our conversation and links to his campaign on our website, kacu.org. We want to note here that for a time last fall, Fat Matt Roofing was a sponsor of the West Texas Dispatch on KACU. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll finish our series of conversations with the men asking for your vote in the Republican primary for District 19. Welcome back to this special edition of the West Texas Dispatch. The Cook Political Report has described Texas 19th Congressional District as the ninth most Republican district in the United States. Seven men are vying to become the party's nominee in the 2026 general election. There's a good chance we'll have a runoff for the top two candidates, and the winner will take on Democrat Kyle Rabel in November. We're bringing you a collection of interviews with the candidates today. Dr. Donald May is a non-practicing retina surgeon and farmer in Lubbock. He has served on the city's Board of Health, served university and international medical centers, and worked with veterans to provide trauma care. KTTZ's Brad Burt spoke with Dr. May about his run for the District 19 seat.
Thank you, Dr. Donald May, for joining us today. Just to get started, you're a doctor here in Lubbock.
I'm a retina surgeon. I am not practicing medicine. I'm doing other things and consulting at this time. But my career has been based on retina surgeries, particularly the repair of severe trauma, military and civilian. Decisions made in Congress are going to be based on my experiences as a military person. As a farmer, I'm sixth generation farmer. My wife is third generation farmer. We've been developing and using artificial intelligence on our farming operation for almost 20 years. I've been working with people in Silicon Valley for almost 42 years since I met my wife who farms out there. And I've got a background in artificial intelligence. We're gonna be the epicenter of artificial intelligence in the world here. We've got Texas Tech. We're bringing in nuclear power to run these. We have phenomenal, phenomenal opportunities.
Ag Commissioner Sid Miller has talked about these data centers that have come up in West Texas. His concern is both on the water that is used by some of these facilities, as well as the land that they take up in a big agricultural district. Do you share any of these concerns?
Land, I believe, is more of a state issue. That's a zoning issue. And I don't know that the federal government should be getting into local zoning issues. I don't think the federal government should involve itself in that. The other issue is control of how the data is being developed. And we're more concerned of how the safeguards are put in. What do we keep the Chinese from getting? I do not agree with President Trump on selling Chinese high-tech chips. I don't think that's a good idea.
You have been campaigning for a while now. What are some of the big issues that you're hearing from West Texans that you've spoken to?
Well, West Texans are concerned about Sharia law. They don't want foreign law coming into the country. People are concerned about prices. Farmers, myself included, oil people, gas producers, are not getting a lot of money for their product. But the inputs that we pay are enormously high. That puts the farmer or the oil producer in significant risk. We use older equipment on our farm. My tenant's a very excellent mechanic, has a good crew, and we use somewhat older equipment. We repair our own equipment. I think that needs to be an option for the farmers when they buy new equipment, that they be able to do some of the repairs.
President Trump's tariffs. Do you think that they have been helpful or harmful to the West Texas economy?
They have been overall helpful because what they've done is allowed him to negotiate and get the problem we dealt with coming in was the huge tariffs other countries had on us.
Are you concerned about the president's recent proposals for the Argentine beef imports affecting ranchers in our area with the current cattle shortage?
I mean, bringing down the price of beef by increasing the supply. It's the old supply and demand. If there isn't a lot of beef, the price of beef goes up. Do we want lower prices for the consumer? Yes. Do we want good prices for the farmers? Yes. It's a difficult balance.
The farm bill is a responsibility of Congress. What do you think West Texans need to see out of the farm bill?
There's two separate parts. There's the farmer part, and then there is the SNAP and other part to feed people. More of that feeding responsibility needs to come back to communities, come back to the states, to food banks, and so forth. And we need to get a better way of doing that. What do we farmers need? We need better working relationships with the providers. We need multi-billion or trillion-dollar industries producing our oil and gas and our automobiles and everything else, because these companies make money because they produce a good product and they sell it at a good price to the consumer.
Let's talk about health a little bit. Rural hospitals have been experiencing staffing shortages. Do you think there's anything that Congress could do to make sure that these hospitals are still providing access to health care?
We need to look at how funding is done. And one of the great solutions is this program that the private industry and Donald Trump came out with. For every child born, you put $1,000 in. And if we did that same thing with our Medicare and our Social Security and gave patients individual accounts, and then in healthcare allowed us to have health savings accounts where we could take pre-tax money and our employer could take pre-tax money or the government could take pre-tax money and put it in there, and we've got that money to spend on our pharmaceuticals, our healthcare, and so forth. And the other thing we have to do is get a handle on the liability. I've got a background. I understand how to get these things done. We need, number one, to protect the American people. We need to protect our country. We need to make sure that the entities providing for us can make a fair profit and have good competition.
One of the big priorities for the Trump administration has been immigration. Current activities from ICE has drawn some protests, and polls are showing low approval of the current enforcement efforts. But do you support the methods the president is using?
Unfortunately, it's been politicized. In my opinion, there's been a lot of bad information put out there against ICE. One of the problems is several hundred thousand children came into this country. And they're finding those children and they're rescuing them, those, because a large number of those children are being put into the slave sex trade. So this is something we need to address: the children, the sex slave issue. We need immigrants. We need skilled workers. We need semi-skilled workers.
What are some issues that you would be willing to work with Democrats on if you were to be elected?
Every issue. I don't have anything that I wouldn't work with a Democrat on. There's nothing that I won't work on. I mean, national security, we all need to protect the people. I believe that welfare and education belong at the state level. There isn't anything that I can't work with on Democrats, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to acquiesce. But we learn from each other.
Congressman Jody Arrington represented District 19 for 10 years.
10 years.
Would you do things differently than Arrington if you were to be elected, and how so?
I think Jody did more for our country and for West Texas than all the other people before him. I would be a lot more aggressive if somebody gets up that says something I don't agree with. I can talk to the top-level people, whether it be the generals or the nuclear scientists. One of the areas I'd like to talk with is nuclear propulsion, so we can get up to Mars and back in a matter of weeks rather than 3 years. We want to get things done. As I've said in the campaign, I'm financing my own campaign. Some people are giving me money. That's fine. I don't want to be obligated to anybody. As I've said, I'm going to go up there and serve. I think Jody set a good precedent with 5 terms. I'm in favor of term limit because if people are up there too long, they get used to power. They get used to money. They get used to fame. And power corrupts, and people need to go up there to serve.
Dr. Donald May, Republican candidate for Congressional District 19, thank you very much for joining us.
Brad, thank you. This has been absolutely delightful. I look forward to talking with you again.
Dr. Donald May is running for that 19th congressional seat. If you'd like to find out more about him, we've got links on our website and the extended version of this conversation. Our next conversation is with Holly's James Barbie. He is a former electric supervisor at Abilene Christian University, a small business owner, and an active community member serving on a variety of boards and committees. Mr. Barbie came by the KACU studios to share his thoughts on serving West Texas in Washington. Mr. Barbie, thank you for your time and thank you for running.
Thank you for having me.
Well, one of the unique proposals from your campaign compared to other campaigns is eliminating the income tax and replacing it with a flat sales tax. Tell me why you think that's important.
Because so right now we're punishing hardworking American people and taking their money away from them, and we're not taxing anyone else. It's time to spread the burden out across the entire population. We have people in this country that are here illegal, and we have people visiting this country. England has something that's called a VAT, a value-added tax, that they do. And if we spread this out, we can give the taxpayers a lot of tax relief, and that's what we need to do. It's time to quit punishing people for being hardworking citizens. My plan also gets rid of any tax on your Social Security. Mm. It'll take care of any tax on any kind of retirement plan that you have. So my goal is, once you hit 65 years of age, that you don't have to pay any more taxes. And my health care plan means your health care will be free. You've paid in your whole life. It's time for us to have the American dream that we promised.
So you're talking about a universal health care? Is that just for people over 65?
I hate that term, universal health care, because okay. When you do that, first thing pops into people's head is socialism, okay? My plan takes Medicare and extends it as a health care insurance that you would purchase just like you would from any other health insurance.
So it is purchased?
That's right. Okay. If you're under the age of 65, you'll pay for it just like any other health care plan.
We were just talking about medical coverage. Hospitals and doctors, they say that Medicaid reimbursement is too low. It's really hard to recruit providers to rural areas. Do you have any specific ideas on how to help these smaller rural areas, Anson, Stamford, that sort of area?
Well, with my health care plan, you won't have this problem anymore. So my health care plan takes care of numerous things. I've been asking people, find something wrong with it. And they really can't. That's why some of my opponents have tried to say it's socialism. It's not. It's capitalism. And what do doctors tell you? The reason your health care insurance is so high is because they have to pay malpractice insurance and other types of insurance. We have something called the Department of Justice that has 100,000 people in it. And these people don't work all that hard. It's time for them to go to work. I propose taking the Department of Justice and backing the health care system and the doctors that are willing to be part of our health care plan so that they can lose some of the costs they have right now, and then those Medicare costs that are coming into them won't be too low because they won't have the expense of the insurances that they have to buy. Insurance is hitting us on both sides. It's hitting you and I for our insurance, and it's hitting the doctors in the healthcare industry on the other side. Plus, the government's taken and stuck in what they call PBMs, which is pharmaceutical benefit managers. They're like a middleman for people on Medicare, and those people are becoming extremely wealthy themselves off of our tax dollars. It's a corruption deal. They're sending the money out to these people, and if you don't know, one-third of Congress is invested in healthcare. And then 93% of incumbent congressmen are receiving campaign finance from the healthcare industry. They don't want to fix your healthcare because if they do, they lose money. So it's going to be a push to get it done, but that's what needs to happen. I tell everybody it's a big money laundering scheme. They take our tax dollars and send them out, but they wind back up in the congressman's pockets when it's all said and done. I'm hoping rates that were back before Obamacare came about, and what that'll do is force the other health care insurance companies to come down on their rates, because if they don't, they won't be able to compete.
Let's talk about the Farm Bill. You're from Holly. That is obviously very much a farming community. It does more than just spend money on agriculture. Let's focus on that piece. What would you like to see out of the Farm Bill specifically for people in West Texas?
The main thing I want to see, because we're using the farmer's product as a bargaining chip in a world stage. Now, I agree with Trump's tariffs. So what I want to do is implement a plan that says if you're going to use the farmer's product as a bargaining chip, you have something, subsidy that kicks in automatically if it drops below a certain rate to keep them from losing money.
Sid Miller, we had him on the show just a couple of weeks ago, Texas Ag Commissioner. He talked about doing something to regulate AI data centers, specifically because of the damage he says is done to farmland. Would you support something like that?
That's private property they're buying. I'm not for government getting into private property owners. Now, I do think that the AI centers are going to affect the city of Abilene tremendously, infrastructure-wise. And it's a concern, but my concerns are more along the lines of water and electricity. And I think we might need to do some regulation there, but I'm not for getting in where we're telling property owners that they can't sell their property to whoever they want.
Let's talk about immigration.
Okay.
ICE out there on the streets, they were in L.A. They've been in Minneapolis recently. Right now, the Democrats are trying to stall some funding for the Department of Homeland Security to try to get some reforms done. Are you comfortable with the way ICE has been acting in Minnesota?
I don't blame ICE with what's going on in Minnesota. I blame the governor and the mayor of that city is what's happening. As a politician, you can't have this civil unrest and you can't tell people it's okay. What you're seeing is not peaceful protest, and what you're seeing is literal rioting and civil unrest. I mean, I grew up in a law enforcement family. My dad was a judge, a city marshal before that. My granddad's a deputy sheriff. I still have family members that are involved. I've got a cousin that's a county judge. Eastland County, the chief deputy over there is my cousin. People want to blame the officers for what's going on, but I tell everybody, until you have a family member strap on a gun at night and leave your house and not know whether or not they're going to come back, you can't criticize police officers.
How did you view Jody Arrington? How did he do as this representative?
I think Jody Arrington was okay, but I'm tired of raising the debt ceiling. My number one deal is let's get rid of the $40 trillion worth of debt and the $1.6 trillion worth of overspending our revenue every year. And he was part of that. He was okay with raising the debt ceiling, and I'm not. If we keep raising our debt ceiling, eventually all the benefits to our elderly and our veterans and everything else are going to be gone. It's my biggest fear that if we don't do something now, that in 10 years we're all going to lose big. That's the only reason I'm here. I had an uncle that taught me civics in high school, and he said, if you have the ability to help your country, you have the obligation. So that's why I'm here.
James Barbee, thank you for joining us today.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
We have an extended version of this conversation on our website, along with links to Mr. Barbee's campaign. Our final conversation this hour is with Jason Corley, a Lubbock businessman with a history in oil and gas. He currently holds a local office within District 19. Corley has served as a Lubbock County Commissioner since 2019. KTTZ's Brad Burt discussed the issue with Corley for our series.
Folks in Lubbock County are familiar with your leadership style, given your serving as the County Commissioner and some of your positions on the local issues, but how have you been reaching out to the people outside of Lubbock County? Because District 19 is big.
Oh, yeah, it's huge. 33 counties. So, just a lot of shoe leather, a lot of driving. Just take every meeting you can. Talk with anybody and everybody. I give everybody my personal cell phone number, so we'll give that out to your listeners. It's 806-577-9778. And feel free to give me a call. I love talking about the issues. And
what are some of the messages that you've been hearing from voters, particularly in those rural areas?
Man, it doesn't matter where you're at in this district. Right now, affordability is the number one question, and inflation's the number one cause. So, it's the main issue Congress needs to be tackling right now.
you're the only candidate that is currently holding an elected position. You've been elected as the Lubbock County Commissioner for Precinct 2 twice now. What is something that you feel like you've accomplished in your time as a county commissioner?
You know, I've always been a solid vote for lower taxes. You know, we did the tax walkout, and, you know, that saved Lubbock County taxes. It also saved Houston a bunch of money, too. Harris County Republicans down there on the commissioner's court said, what are they doing up in Lubbock? And they did the exact same thing back in 2019. So, you know, we got to teach the state of Texas how to keep your taxes down.
What we're seeing in West Texas in particular recently is these data centers that mm-hmm. are promising some economic opportunity, but there's concerns that they're going to be taking up resources, both water and land, from some of our agriculture. Do you share the concerns?
There's a lot of benefits to the data centers. One, the economic impact, which is going to be huge for Lubbock County, getting one of those built here. The valuations on those will generate a ton of tax dollars for the county. On the bad actor side of this, Lubbock County and the rest of District 19, we look at this and kind of go, oh, wait a minute, it needs a lot of water. But the technology is getting a whole lot better, so the water usage is greatly reduced. Mostly with the closed loop systems, you know, they have almost zero loss. So the big question on the data centers is, it's not even where does the electricity come from. That's usually what we worry about. It's actually, where are they going to get the natural gas to make the electricity? We're flaring trillions of CFM of natural gas every single year. The idea was, like, why don't you run it through a gas turbine, make electricity, and just put it on the grid? So what we need to do is go ahead, change the rules and the regulations on the utility companies.
What are your views on President Donald Trump's tariffs, and do you think that they've been helpful to the U.S. and the West Texas economy specifically?
Trump slapped the tariffs on. He's in the middle of a trade war. There's going to be some sacrifices. There's going to be some casualties of war, too. What happened at first was kind of tough, but now it's starting to lift. When you have those tariffs in place, is you have businesses that are going, why don't we move our manufacturing into your country, and then you don't charge the tariff? You're like, that's great. You want to build the BMW here in the States? Wonderful. Come on in.
Beef is a big piece of the economic picture mm-hmm. in District 19, and we've seen some struggling both on the cattle raising side and on the meatpacking side. President Trump has attributed part of that, and he's asked the DOJ for investigations into some of the monopolies that have handled the meatpacking industries. Do you support better regulation on some of these companies?
So what happened is your government started raising your regulations up, and they start making it harder and harder for the little guy to, one, get started, or two, to compete. So what do we need to do? We just need to start removing some of these regulations that it's like, okay, is this reasonable? Does this really make sense?
Farm bill, obviously a big responsibility of Congress, but there have been some complaints that it doesn't mm-hmm. do enough to help struggling mm-hmm. farmers. What do you think West Texas needs to see the most out of this farm bill?
What are we going to do to, one, keep our producers? Because now average age of farmers over 60. Young people are not getting into farming because they're looking at this going, I don't want this level of insecurity. You know, I don't know what I'm dealing with from year to year. We've got some programs that help get people into farming, but when you're talking about the scale that we're at now, you know, I mean, I think a farmer's going to need to farm 2,000 acres, and he's probably going to need, you know, $1 million worth of equipment to do it. So, I mean, that's a pretty high price to get into this. So what are we going to have to do is start changing up our policies to benefit, one, lower the entry cost to get started. Two, we got to protect our smaller producers.
One of the big priorities for the Trump administration has been immigration. Mm-hmm. The ICE activity has drawn some protests. Mm-hmm. Polling is showing some low approval of these current efforts. Do you support the approach that the president is taking now? Mm-hmm. And what reform mm-hmm. would you offer for the immigration system?
So Trump, he's not doing anything that wasn't already in law. You know, the media is putting this stuff out here. They're blowing this up. But you've got a lot of people that are profiting off of illegal immigration. And we need to put a stop to it 100%. And the way that you do that is you take away the draw. So during the Carter administration, you know, I don't brag on him very often, but he got this right. They would go in, it was a $30,000 fine to anybody caught hiring an illegal immigrant. Stopped. That was the end of that. You know, for quite a while, nobody would hire somebody that was illegal because you couldn't afford it. Now, that shut it down. That took every problem, but we had a problem because we quit managing the solution, which was the old Bracero program. We had a partnership with Mexico. If you're from Mexico, you wanted to work in the United States in agricultural-related jobs, you went to the Bracero program. They had offices set up all along the border, and we bused 3 million people all over this country working in agricultural-based jobs. They had to provide housing. They had to provide set wages, set hours of work, and certain standards that all had to be met in order to participate in the program. Worked great. people in Mexico came here, made good money, you know, made good money for their families, and then went home again. And, you know, we needed the labor at the time, so it worked. We kept track of 3 million people with a pencil. And you're telling me with all the things, I mean, with everything we've got, I mean, you're telling me we can't keep up with a couple of workers? I don't think so. Like everything else in government, follow the money. So illegal immigration does a couple of things. One, it drives down wages for American workers. Two, it also exploits labor, usually from people that are coming from, you know, pretty rough places. We're seeing an influx of people that are coming here from a lot of other countries. Military age men is one thing you need to be paying attention to. It's very concerning. So at least on the terroristic front, you know, the majority of our enemies realize militarily they're never going to be able to beat us. So, but they can manipulate us. They can work through our policies. We can dump tons of people on you, or we can just get them in there and bleed you dry. So how do you solve this problem? When you take those 84,000 IRS agents that Biden hired, and why don't we have them audit where the money's going instead of where it's coming from?
You talked about affordability, mm-hmm. water. These are issues that are nonpartisan. Are there issues that you would be willing to work across the aisle for mm-hmm. with Democrats if you were elected?
Too many people are too hung up on being R's and D's, and they need to be more focused on being Americans. You know, what works out well? You start talking on education. Has education gotten better since the 70s when we created the Department of Education? No. Okay. End the program. Just shut it down. I don't think early voting's worked out well. The other thing, campaign finance reform's another one that comes up. The PACs need to go away. The super PACs need to go away. That's not what it's supposed to be. It should be individual people donating to it.
Congressman Jody Arrington worked in that office for 10 years. Mm-hmm. How would you differ from Arrington?
I want grant writers working there. I want to get people in there that are working with the cities, the schools, and the counties, because you've already got all the demographic information. So, you know, if you're filling out the grant for one county, there's probably 5 others that qualify. The other one, too, as a veteran liaison officer, you know, get those guys. If they need the help, get them the help. If they need that, let's make sure they've got it. Get that process done quickly and easily.
Thank you, Jason Corley, running for Congressional District 19 in Texas.
That's Republican candidate for Texas 19th Congressional District, Jason Corley. Check out our website for more on this conversation and more information about his run for the seat. We reached out to schedule an interview with all of the candidates on the Republican ballot for District 19. Ryan Zink was the only candidate we were unable to schedule for an interview in time for today's show. If we were able to get something from Mr. Zink, we will put that on our website. This has been a special edition of the West Texas Dispatch. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you feel more informed when you head to the polls, and we hope that all the registered voters show up to let their voices be heard this election season, whether it's choosing candidates in the Republican or the Democratic primaries. Special thanks to the team at KTTZ in Lubbock for helping to track this huge field of candidates down. Our executive producer is Heather Claiborne, with help from our digital editor, Calvin Claiborne. There's more information about them on our website, as well as extended versions of these interviews. We'll be back next week with election results and the rest of the news from West Texas. For the West Texas Dispatch, I'm George Levesque.